Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Outstanding. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Now that I'm talking to you, though, I'm fantastic. As we were chatting prior to hitting record, I've been so excited to talk to you for so many different reasons. First and foremost, for those, people watching that don't know who you are and sort of what you do today, can you just explain a little bit, kind of the short version, because we're going to get into everything that you're doing and you've accomplished.
Okay, so I'm president and CEO, and I'm serving a few board of directors, only quite a few, and I really enjoy that. I'm also very passionate about what I do. I'm third generation aerospace engineer, as you asked me before, and I was really fascinated and looking forward to our conversation. So thank you so much for inviting me. But the line that you pick up is very interesting, unbreakable. And it just someone just asked me a few days ago, how do you become a CEO? And how do you become successful in what you do? And I think it's only possible when you're going through quite a few challenges. You don't become a very rosy path and then you become successful. Does not matter in what you do. You do, I think. Going through some challenges definitely make you much more stronger, and eventually it's make you either a leader or successful in what you do.
I love that. And you know what? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today because as you know, I Am Unbreakable is the brand and our tagline is the struggle is part of the story. It doesn't matter, and you and I touched on this a little bit. It doesn't matter what you do in life. I feel that growth, confidence, resilience, fearlessness, it all comes from overcoming obstacles, going through struggles and challenges. So you are in traditionally a non-traditional space, which I would say would be pretty much male dominated until you arrived. And I think you and I are a lot alike. I can tell just by what you've done and your energy. And so when I got into the private investigation side of things, I never looked at it and said, oh, this is a male-dominated space. I'm going there. I've just always done what I love and love what I do. Was it the same for you? Like, how did you, so because it seems like you really navigate those spaces and you do it really, really well. So how did you find where your place would be?
That's an excellent question. So when I went to aerospace, I was so fascinated by engineering and aerospace itself. It's my passion for all of my life. So when I arrived at university, I was super surprised that I was almost the only one, because I thought everyone would like to do that.
Right? It's like, why am I the only female here?
Yes, I
I
cannot
love that.
understand.
You didn't really let gender, by the sounds of it, sort of take you out of that, but it wasn't what put you there, but it didn't take you out either. So, okay, continue with your story. So you got to university.
And that actually was happening, and that was happening all the time because if you look, transportation, trains is also not super female, super female area. National security, as you, I was involved in national security. Interestingly enough, it's not a female area. Energy, if you look at nuclear. It's not that many, if at all, any nuclear president and CEOs. Now I'm fascinated, as I was fascinated by aerospace. Now I'm really fascinated by nuclear, and all of the advanced and innovative and complex engineering areas somehow, unfortunately, can benefit much more from the creativity of all diversity. And I don't speak about only female. I speak all diversity, and I'm always very strong about this. When we speak about diversity, we should not focus on female only, because it's misrepresented everywhere you're going. But it's very interesting. I never thought about this, that I'm kind of the only one, and it somewhat surprised me. But
Right,
it
and
never
that's I love
was
that.
the focus. But also, like, even wearing dresses, it took me quite a long time to wear dresses or put makeup. I did not feel comfortable. And if you probably notice, I went through different colors of my hair until I felt comfortable to be myself. But that's probably the only visual part I was trying to hide.
What, that is so interesting. Let's stay there for just one second, because I know that you and I can talk for hours and hours about all this. And I love that. And I find it interesting for many different reasons. But I do want to go back on the fact that I love what you said. It was not about gender. My sort of thing that I always say to people, I'm like, regardless of gender, doesn't matter how you identify. For me, it's what kind of human are you? Right? Like, how do you show up? Are you a good person? Are you kind? Are you empathetic? And I think you're the same way in saying that, like, diversity is just diversity. And you don't really say, okay, you know, there's a space, I believe, for people that are, you know, heavy feminists. And there's a space for those people, and rightfully so. It's not where my space is, and I don't think it's where your space is. You just kind of show up and say, look, this industry could really benefit from innovation of diversity and different genders. And so thank you for saying that. And then you also touch on how you felt showing up. And that's so important. You know, I felt the same way. It's like, and I do, I do my hair, I do my makeup. That's who I am. I don't do it for anybody else. I do it because that's what makes me feel good. That's just part of who I am. But being in a male-dominated industry, you're right. It's like, I never wear stuff like too low or too tight or too, you know, back in the day, like I'm talking two decades ago. And now it's sort of like, I mean, I still don't wear, you know, that's just me. There, again, you go out for an evening, that's one thing. But when you're in business, yes, as a woman, I bet you a man doesn't really ever think, oh, I should not wear this. So how did you get past that physical, like you said, you changed your hair, you didn't wear makeup. How did you get past that? How did you deal with that?
Well, I was constantly focusing on the content, on the value that I can bring, on my message, on my missions that I want to achieve. And I saw that everything else is not important. And it was going actually both sides. I thought it's not important if I will try to wear more female clothes. I did receive feedback sometimes that they told me, like, you're a fantastic keynote speaker. You really can motivate people. You're really good in communication. But why are you wearing red? Or why are you wearing pink? And I like red and pink, and I like white, and that's the colors I love. I feel very energetic. It brings me energy. It makes my good mood. It's my colors. We never tell women, don't wear blue.
Yes, right? Exactly.
But you touch on a few very important points, and I want to notice all of them. When you spoke about extreme feminism, for example, neither of us, neither you or I, like this, but when change happens, sometimes extreme balance on the unsatisfied for many, many generation need try to go. So I do appreciate and respect this woman that going aboard. It's not my style, yet I understand why they're doing this. It's one. Second, taking the female, for example, and Deborah, I mentor, you mentioned women get on board. I'm very honored to mentor on women get on board. And it's trying to promote female. So right now is, we feel very proud when we have 30% of women on the board. But why 30? Why it make us so fascinated? It's 51% of the women in the population. So it should be 51%, not 20%, not 30%, not even 50%. It should be 51. So it should be exactly a representation of what female are. And that should go for every other representation. But we also should not really focus how many percentage we get. We really need to focus that every female that we bring, every diversity that we bring, also brings a value. Like, and we, when we hire for board of directors, we hire according to the skill set matrix, and we're also looking for a particular skill set that this board of directors is lacking. And quite often when I receive a call from a recruitment firm and they say, oh, it's this board will benefit from a female, I say, I really appreciate this call. It's nice talking to you, but I'm not interested. And they're surprised. And I tell them, would you call me and say you're looking for growth and expansion? I'm there. If you're looking for innovation, I'm there. If you have someone need someone with experience of mergers and acquisition, I would love to be there. But if you start from the, you want to interview me or try to bring me on board because I'm female or because I'm coming from different religion, and I check mark so many diversity, like it's very easy. You bring me in, you have already 3 or 4 diversity. I'm internationally trained engineer, so I'm also was not born in Canada. You can check so many check marks for ESG, like, so I look really good. But I really think all of the focus should be on the values and skill set and capabilities. And then no one will even feel, okay, she's on the board of directors just because she's female. She's on the board of directors just because she's not Christian. She's on the board, or he is on the board of directors because his skin is different. That should, we should kind of bypass this. We should support and help to get on the board individuals that are unique, I would put this way. And not touching right now disability, for example, it's subjects we try to stay shy. It's very not easy to accommodate for disability. Much easier to accommodate to a female or someone with different color of skin. So that's my point. Point we should really focus on what we do need to achieve in terms that we this organization thrives afterwards, and not just, you know, went through all the check marks and it was achieved.
Yes. And you know what? Very well said. Thank you for that, because you're right. I feel that sometimes there are corporations that do look for that to check all the boxes, but you're saying, hey, wait a minute, regardless of gender, regardless of religion, race, you know, whatever it is, let's bring people on based on their capability, based on their experiences. And I think that that is so incredibly key for when you're hiring or when you're looking to bring people on. So going back to your amazing sort of pathway, and I love how you said, like, you're fearless and you go into spaces that you know you're going to kind of shake up and you're going to change. Now, did you always take it from that perspective, or did you, again, I'm just trying to kind of bring us back to, did you always just love what you did? Because it sounds like you're very passionate regardless of what you do. And I think that's sort of even what happened to myself and to many founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, is they go into a space and then they find something else that really intrigues them, and then they go that way. So just explain a little bit about that.
I'm always loved what I do. I super passionate about what I do. I quite often ask, like, why to, in addition to full-time job, you would like to be on the board of directors? Why do you mentor? And I'm on quite a few board of directors. Where do you find the time in your day? And I don't even think where do I find the time in the day. I just love it so much that I don't notice. Like, I really enjoy this. And it's so funny, one of my team members mentioned that I always go after 1% of chance of getting this. And I answer him, the 1% is only what I always need, right? But it is going from 1%, it's super challenging. It does raise the motivation to achieve. But it comes with all the package of the challenging when you go in after something that you indeed have 1% to be successful in. It also makes you stronger. It makes you more resilient. It teaches you so much skill set. And I'm coming from professional. I was a professional athlete. And I think I always say that everything that I learn in leadership, I learn in sports and in engineering. So this, you know, persistence, this putting a goal when it looks like it's unachievable, but working hard and never giving up, and continue and being persistent and constant and becoming better and better with every step, every day, every movement. It's exactly as an athlete masters their skill set and their expertise, the same as in the leadership, the same as success.
So and well said.
You fail so many times and your body hurts. You cannot eat what everyone else eat. You cannot socially sometimes do what others do. You cannot stay all night.
What sport were you in? Now I have to ask.
I started in gymnastics.
Same year.
That's come from European background, right?
Yes.
Then I got injured and I was supposed to quit sports, but my dad is in myself. I was pretty young, so determined, and running was part of the rehabilitation. So I fell in love with running and I started to run marathons.
Good for you. That's not a shocker, but good for you. Are you still doing that today?
I still run.
Bravo to you. And you know what? You're right. Gymnastics is so hard on your body. Knees, back, this, that, flip that. I mean, same. I had so many injuries, but I feel, and I do a lot right now. I think, you know, we've got Dr. Jen Welter on our next cover of our publication, and she was the first NFL football coach and also played. And, you know, talk about being hard on your body, but I feel that sports for women and for girls teaches so much, from discipline to teamwork to having, you know, that family, that bonding. There's so many things that it teaches you as a young girl or a young adult that you can take into your adulthood. And having four boys, they were always in hockey, and I've got two goalies. And I said, you know, it's not always about, you know, keeping the little black thing out of the net or putting it into the net. It's about knowing how to lose, knowing how to win, you know, the teamwork. And I love that. What do you think about what does it bring for girls or young women? What does sports, why is it so important for them to be a part of that?
It's extremely important. Discipline, as you mentioned, perseverance, long-term goal setting. You don't get anything right away. It's also delaying gratification and still continue to go after goal. It also believing that impossible is possible, because when you start your journey and you want to get to a particular mark or a particular place, sometimes you say, how I will do that? I don't have the skill set. I'm not flexible enough. I cannot run so far. I don't have enough stamina. And then day after day, you're going, always an improvements are very small, and you definitely want to get to the finish line right away. You think, I don't want to work all year on this, but you have no other choice. You have to work all year about this, and you have to be so persistent in what you're doing, regardless if you got injured, regardless if you got broken, regardless if it's your birthday. I used to run every day, and my dad was actually coaching. When I was injured, he became so protective. So he started to coach me by myself, and my dad is an Olympic coach. So
for what sport? Gymnastics as well?
No, boxing.
Oh, MMA, boxing. Okay, we're going to so talk about UFC, WWE, because they were my clients for the longest time. But nevertheless, so boxing, wow, that is an intense sport and very disciplined. So he took over your coaching once you got injured. How was that?
He's a very tough coach. He never, in the boxing, he never coached girls, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the rules that he put, I have to run every morning, 5 a.m. And it does not matter if it snows, if it rains, if it's almost impossible to run because it's so slippery, if it's my birthday or I have exams. I was going to university. It was my university exams. And I had to wake up 5 a.m. and run. So it's no excuse. It's 365 days a year. No New Year, no Christmas, nothing will make us excuse not to run. And that's very important skill set, he taught me. You do
And
not.
that's, you know, I just want to touch on something before I forget this. You know, the most, one of the 50 most important things you said is the whole like working for something and not getting that instant gratification. I feel like, you know, the up and coming generation is all about that. Not everybody, but a lot of them really suffer from that. Well, I can just swipe here and get this. I can touch this and get that. It is that instant gratification. And I actually just interviewed Brittany McLean, who was an Olympic swimmer in Canada. And you'll probably know her and her sister, Heather McLean. And she won a medal when she was 22. And, you know, it was that 4 years of leading up, 4 years of work, right? Of leading up to. And I love the fact that you are telling our younger generation, you gotta work. You know, I always say I've got an old school work mentality, and that is the way it was. Exactly sort of what you said. My dad was not an Olympic coach, although he probably should have been, because even on the weekends, every single weekend, you're up at like 6 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, so where are we going? Doesn't matter. Get up, get dressed, da 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 da. And sometimes we just go out for espresso and, you know, we'd come back home. But it was that training of the early bird gets the worm. It's the training of the discipline. And lots of times, as I said, we did a ton of things together, personally and business-wise. But I feel that a lot of that is missing in our up and coming youth, whether it's a parenting thing, because you can only parent your kids for so much and so long where they either become their own person or they rebel. But I think if it's instilled when you're young, like what you're saying with what happened with your dad, I think that's a gift that he has given to you.
Absolutely, and the discipline itself. And I don't think when I was going through, I don't think I miss ever a day in school or university or at work. I don't think I ever took a sick day. You probably can hear on my voice, I got a cold. So I woke up this morning and I thought, just for a second, maybe I should give you a call and let you know that I don't feel that well. Then I thought, okay, you're probably expecting me. I cannot do that. And yes, probably my voice is much lower
But
today.
it's okay. And the fact that, you know, you're right that you came and you showed up. But I think that's what it's about. And first of all, your voice is fantastic. But yeah, you're right. You know, I feel that too often people are like, oh, well, I'm sick. I can't, you know, and again, there are times and extremes when people are sick. But I don't, same with what you're saying, I don't ever really remember missing school or work because I was sick. You got a cold, here's a couple Kleenexes for your pocket. You know, my parents were not like, oh, you know, you've got to stop and don't whatever. They're like, okay, see you after work, right? It was never about that. And you know, they came here and they immigrated here in 56. My mother was actually an Olympic swimmer. Her and her whole swim team came here with nothing but a backpack. And it's like if they could come to a complete different country, not a word of English, and make it, then I have no excuses, right? That was sort of how they raised me. At the time, maybe I wasn't like getting it all when I was young and my friends were doing this and my friends were doing that. And that was okay. It's not that I didn't get to socialize, but like what you said, that discipline has taken me into that one percentile that you talk about that allows you just to sort of have that work ethic to be able to go those extra miles. And for that, I'm forever grateful. And I have so many questions for you, but I'm going to ask, I will say three more questions based on our time. So I always talk about Nike, and I feel like they've got their marketing down packed. Three simple words, just do it. A lot of times, you know, as a founder, as an entrepreneur, people who are listening to us right now, they're going through a struggle. They're wanting to maybe sit on a board. They're wanting to get that job. They're wanting to open up their business of, or follow their dreams, whatever they may be. And I'm really sort of in the mindset, again, you don't go willy-nilly with no plan, but I'm a really big believer that if you overplan, and you might disagree with this, it really kills dreams. Sometimes you just have to do it. you have to know your why, but the how, I don't think you need to have that all figured out all the time. What is your take on that?
I love this approach, but my own approach is merge of sports and engineering. So engineering gives a structure. And I always look at this in a big picture perspective. First, you need to have a vision, a dream. Second, you need to have a strategy. And then is execution and this perseverance and performance. Should be a strategy, an action plan in this point? Not necessary. So you're absolutely right. You don't have to fully overthink. You do need to have a very clear vision. You also need to know to communicate your vision. Second, the strategy has to be pretty unique, especially if you're going after unknown territory. You dream. It's for a reason a dream. It's most likely not everyone achieved this before. So your strategy have to be creative, extraordinary in a way. Then you're absolutely right. I really like this approach of Nike. You just do that. Another thing that sports teaches and extremely important is performance and delivery. Usually leaders that come from sports, they're very focused on delivery. They're not only about great communication skills that they know to say what they want to achieve, but it also constantly deliver on their goals. Yes. And I think it's very important. By the way, speaking about females, one of the female advantages, we are by nature really focused on the actual delivery, as Nike says, is just do that and then achieve this. So I really like this structure that engineering gives, and I really like the creativity, and I believe that engineering is extremely creative discipline. You just kind of look at this as something more formal. It's not. You cannot build beautiful bridge, or you cannot build a plane that did not existed before if you're only looking at this as a formality. You must be creative.
100%. And that's why I said in the beginning, it's not like you go sort of willy-nilly and, you know, throw caution to the wind and hope something sticks. Excuse me. What I meant was people feel like, oh, well, I can't do this because I don't have all this like worked out. And again, we can talk about whether it's financing, whether it's the answers to everything. I'm saying if you have a plan, if you have a dream, and if it is something, like you said, you do have to have the strategy, the principles, the deliverables, and all of that in place. So many people are just so terrified to take that next step. And that's more what I was talking about too, is sometimes you just have to do it, because being in our position, and I know you can attest to this, sometimes the best laid out plans, you need to know how to pivot. You thought you were going to zig, you're going to have to zag. And so the best laid out plans, I'm sure you've laid out so many plans, none of which have not had a pivot point, right? So that's sort of what I'm saying, is that you can have the best plan, but understand that might not be the final blueprint, if you will.
Absolutely agree with you. But also, if someone comes with some shortcoming, for example, financial acumen, and they say, okay, I don't have financial acumen, so I'm not going to be on a board of directors, so I'm not going to open my own business. And then you speak to them a year after, and they say, you see something change. They created a plan how to learn finance, right? And you do not believe everyone can become expert in finance. But for example, being in a board of directors, you really need to understand economical and all the reports and really be able to contribute from financial point of view. But from the moment you start and you decide, okay, I want to be on the board of directors, so maybe the candidate doesn't know, I don't know, technology or whatever is his area of expertise that has to be learned, it's also very important to put a plan, at least to recognize what are shortcomings and go towards this. That's become a part of the building block for your dream. Okay, so I want to be somewhere, and I don't know that. So what is the next step, right? So never giving up and saying, I don't have this. It's more putting kind of a plan now. So now my plan, I need to learn this, or I need to practice on that. And this is the only way to continue. Just do that, right? That is another meaning of just do it. You don't have this?
Yes.
Do it.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, two more quick questions. This one I'm going to make you think, maybe. What do you want your legacy to be?
I'm sorry?
What do you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be remembered for? Because you've got so much amazing work that you have done, and you continue to inspire and motivate and mentor and lift. So if, you know, you could sort of sum it up in 1 to 3 sentences, what do you want your legacy to be?
I think it's a time of, we live in super interesting time, and it's so much changing right now, and change is fascinating, and challenge is fascinating. And I want to build a path for the next someone after me to make it much easier for them to be on the path. And I don't want to say for her or for him, but I also want to remember that everything that looks scarce at the beginning, something that looks impossible, it's actually possible. It's just more work you have to put in this. And I was interviewed by extraordinary woman, and they thought, oh, you're extraordinary. No, I'm not. I just work a little bit harder. And I want to be installed, like never giving up. Always believing that something that is impossible and hard to achieve is actually something that makes you stronger afterwards and give you skill set, all range of the skill set, not only to overcome difficulties, but also try to think, what is the meaning? What is the cause you're working towards? What do you want to achieve? You ask me, why do I love what I do? Because I always join organization for a cause. I look what they do, what is the meaning, what they want to achieve. And then I'm thinking, would I like to be part of this? And the moment I become part of this, yes, of course, I'm ready to work hard, because it's really aligns with my values, with my core beliefs. That's a legacy. Yes.
I love that. And you are extremely passionate about everything that you do. And you are, in my humble opinion, extraordinary. And so I guess when I ask what's your legacy, so you want to create the pathway for, regardless of gender, you want to create the pathway. You want to also tell people that hard work does pay off, but that's what it takes. It is not easy. It hurts. It's painful. It's a lot. You get it, but that's how you get there. And there is no easy way, right? And then you also go on to say that follow your dreams, which is, I'm a huge advocate of that. And so many people, you know, will stay at the same job, they're saying whatever they're doing. And, you know, I've been with many people passing over to the other side. And so many people, it's always the same thing. It's just like, I wish I followed my dream. And I don't know why that always stuck with me, that it's sort of foreign to me why people wouldn't follow their dreams. So part of, you know, the I Am Unbreakable is about supporting everybody, all humans, to follow their dream. I'm going to ask you our closing question very sadly, but I would love if you would come back, because I've got so many questions to continue on. But something we chatted about a little bit earlier, what does it mean to you to be unbreakable?
I have my own definition of unbreakable. Actually, it's okay to be breakable a little bit. It actually makes you stronger. And it's not necessary you never has been broken. I was interviewed for one of the podcasts, and I was asked, that I broke glass ceiling. How do I feel? And I told, I broke glass ceiling, but glass ceiling cut me. Of course.
That's powerful. And you know what? You're so right. And what a different take. I don't know that I've ever had that answer before, but I think it's necessary for growth. I don't think you can grow and become, you know, fearless and resilient sitting on a couch being comfortable. I think growth is being uncomfortable. It is being cut, or it is being sort of broken a little bit, because everybody's like, oh, you know, unbreakable is, you know, I bend, I don't break. And it's different for everybody. But I love your analogy that it's okay to feel that way.
So you asked me what is the last question. So yes, dream big. Otherwise, it's not a dream. It's just a to-do list. So dream big. Be ready at this, that if, when you glass cuts you, you become hurt. And being hurt and vulnerable is part of the growth. Being injured in a sport is part of the growth. Does it hurt physically or emotionally? It does. But you cannot achieve a big dream without being vulnerable.
That is so powerful. You know, I can't thank you enough. I have learned so much from you, even just the little bit that we've talked. You're a true inspiration, and I hope you'll come back again. Thank you so much. Big hug, big love to you. Thank you.
Speak soon.